In C.S. Lewis's wonderful children's story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the reader is introduced to the magic that is called the deeper magic of Narnia. The deep magic was set in place when the emperor beyond the sea, at the time of its creation, had established this magic. And as Lewis said, it was written into what's called the stone table. Now, here's the thing about Narnia at this time. It was always winter, but never Christmas, because that white witch, a mean bit of work she is, named Jadis, had control over the whole of Narnia. And she realized something that she had to get control of. She'd heard of the sons and daughters of Adam. And if they ever came into the land of Narnia, her power over that land would ultimately be broken. And as is true in any good story, you've got boys and girls. You've got Peter, his sister Susan, Lucy, the youngest, and then there's Edmund. And you know what happened to Edmund? Oh, that Turkish delight. Be very careful if you're given Turkish delight, because it might be enchanted Turkish delight. And as Edmund eats more and more of the Turkish delight, not only does he desire it, but he comes under the spell of Jadis. And he's at the point where he's ready to betray his brother and sisters to her so that she can capture them. Ah, and then forever she will be the queen of Narnia. But a point comes when Edmund realizes what he is doing, and he is reunited with his sisters and his brother. But then, if you know the story, onto the scene comes Aslan. Aslan, the great lion. But Jadis knows something, that if one who had been aligned with her then betrays her, his life is forfeit. And so she thinks she's won the day. But then Aslan has a secret meeting with her, and that they come to an agreement. And this comes to the beautiful part of this story, where Aslan takes the place of Edmund. And on that auspicious night, he goes to the stone table, and there is the witch with all of her evil coterie of goblins and everything imaginable that is terrifying. And Aslan allows himself to be shaved, to be tied to the table. And then in the dramatic scene in the film and the book, Jadis says, "You fool of a lion, you thought by dying you would save Edmund's life. But after I kill you, I will kill him as well." And so with that knowledge, despair and die. And she kills the lion. But here's the thing. She doesn't know about the deeper magic. The deeper magic of Narnia. Because at that very moment when Aslan gives up his life, the world begins to turn around, and the table breaks, and the next day, Aslan is raised to life. Jadis is defeated. Edmund is restored to his family, and the beautiful depiction that Lewis has in this story speaks of the reality of the passion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here, beloved friends, is the remarkable thing, that all of the best stories in the world have this theme, And look at us, all of us, here at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, thousands of years after the events of that first Good Friday. Why are we here? Because every single one of us at some level either believes or wants to believe there is this deeper magic. That there is a reality in our world where the power of love, the power of sacrifice, the power of laying down one's life for one's friends is the greatest reality of them all. And here's the beautiful thing about the deep magic of the cross. Think about Jesus' first three words from the cross. What's the first word? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Jesus prays this word to those who are his enemies. What's his second word? Remember that thief that is beside him? That thief who at the beginning of Good Friday at 9 a.m. had, like the other one, maligned and ridiculed Jesus. But something happened to him during the course of those hours. You know what that something was? The deeper magic. And so while his friend is still mocking Jesus and says, get us down from here if you're really the Messiah, the other thief says, and he's the only person in the gospel that addresses the Lord by his first name, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And remember what Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That is the deeper magic. One who was dying because he was a criminal would be offered paradise after death. The enemies then give way to the friends of Jesus, depicted by that man. And what's the third word from the cross? Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Do you see the progression? Who are they? They're his family. So from praying for his enemies, he speaks a word of great assurance to a friend, and then he addresses his family. And here's the thing about Good Friday. In everyone's life, this is what Jesus wants to do. He wants us to move from being opposed to him to knowing that we are his friend and to knowing that we belong to his family. Although he's not mentioned in the fourth gospel, one of the people I've been thinking a lot about this week is Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene is in North Africa. And so here's this man coming in on this particular Friday from the country. And he's compelled to carry the cross of Jesus. That cross beam that would have weighed about 100 pounds. And here's the remarkable thing about this Simon. We can piece together what happened in his life because of that first Good Friday. In Mark's account of the Passion, Mark tells us the following. He refers to Simon of Cyrene, but he puts in this one detail. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, here's the thing about Mark's gospel. We know that Mark was in Rome, and he wrote the gospel from Rome. And he happens to just add this little detail that Simon is the father of these two men, Alexander and Rufus. Now you go over to St. Paul's letter to the Romans, written to the church in Rome, and St. Paul does something in Romans that is unprecedented in all of his other letters. In chapter 16, the whole chapter is a list of greetings. Greet this person, greet that person, greet this other person over here. And do you know what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 16 at verse 13? Check this out. Greet Rufus, eminent in the Lord, and also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Isn't that remarkable? Rufus, I guess Alexander might be dead by now, because this is many years later. But by this time, Rufus has become a central figure of the Roman church. And his mother, i.e. the wife of Simon of Cyrene, is like a mother to St. Paul. From being enemies, to being friends, to being family. That is the deeper magic of the cross. And there is no other magic in the world. There is no other promise given to us under heaven and earth that will help you to make sense of your life. So maybe you're here today because, well, you had to come. Kind of like Simon. He didn't have a choice. You got to carry the cross. Maybe you're here today because you've really become a friend of Jesus. Maybe you're here today because you know I'm family. Jesus Christ is not done with you yet, nor is he done with me. But we need this story because there are white witches everywhere. And they're wanting to feed us all sorts of Turkish delight. Don't fall for that diabolical sweet. The only food that can sustain you is the food you're going to eat in about half an hour. It's called the Eucharist. The gospel makes perfect sense. It is the story that inspired Lewis to write one of the greatest children's books in the English language, because it is the story of the emperor beyond the sea who has instilled within creation the deeper magic, the magic of the cross.